ഇന്ന് അൽഹംദുലില്ലാഹ് വസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലാ അഷ്റഫുൽ അംബിയാ വഅലാ ആലിഹി വഅസ്ഹാബിഹി വമൻവല വബഅദ്. മൈ ബ്രദർ ആൻഡ് സിസ്റ്റർ, ഓൺ ദി സബ്ജക്ട് ഓഫ് ബിൽഡിംഗ് എ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് ദ ഖുർആൻ, ഐ വോണ്ട് ടു റിമൈൻഡ് മൈസെൽഫ് ആൻഡ് യു അബൌട്ട് ദ റീഡിംഗ് ഓഫ് ദ ഖുർആൻ ഇറ്റ്സെൽഫ്, വിച്ച് ബിഗിൻസ് വിത്ത് learning tajweed so that we pronounce what we read correctly. The delicacy of the Arabic language is such that in many cases, if you do not pronounce a word correctly, then the meaning of the word itself can change. And obviously in salah and so on, this can have unintended consequences about the quality of the salah itself, including in some cases maybe even rendering the salah invalid if you have made a mistake which is big enough. But even if the salah is not invalid, and most of the time it is not invalid, definitely the quality of the salah is affected because of mispronunciation. So therefore there is a whole science of pronunciation of the Quran which is called tajweed, where you learn how to pronounce the letters and the rules governing that pronunciation. It takes, in my experience of learning and teaching, it takes not more than about 2 weeks on the outside to learn tajweed properly. And 2 weeks, I'm sort of stretching it. Most people can learn proper tajweed in a week or maybe less than a week. So it's not a difficult thing. And seeing that it's such an essential thing, then obviously one must make the effort to learn. Inshallah, as I said, during Etikaf this time, I've requested Mufti Azam Sahib to run a class, tajweed class, every day, so those who are interested can participate in that and learn. So very important to learn how to pronounce. Now tajweed, I'm not talking about the tune of recitation, I'm not talking about the lahan, I'm talking about just the pronunciation itself. Tune of recitation is not important. What is important is actual pronunciation. You can have a nice voice and you can have a nice tune, but if you are mispronouncing, then that's no good. The pronunciation is the first most important thing and the only most important thing. Then the issue of understanding what we are reading or listening to. As I said earlier, obviously the ideal is to learn the language, because without learning the language, how can you understand? And if you are not understanding, do you even call what you are doing reading? Because if you use the word reading, what do we understand by the word reading? It means that you read something which is written, some script of some language, and you understood the meaning. There is actually no concept of reading without understanding in the language itself, except in the case of Quran for people like us. We don't use this anywhere else. I mean, if I, for example, French or German, these are languages which are, or Spanish, these are languages which are written in the same Roman script. So if I know the Roman script, which I do, so technically I can read a French newspaper or a German newspaper or a Spanish newspaper. Maybe some letters or words I might not pronounce them very correctly, because in German and so on there are some some spins to it. But by and large I will read it. But since I don't know French or German or Spanish, I don't understand what I've read. So if I read aloud a section of a German newspaper or a French newspaper to you, and I said, I have read this, then if you tell me, okay, now I don't know French, so what is written there? And I said, well, I don't know either. So then did I read it or did I not read it? Seriously, we have to ask this question to ourselves. I mean, we don't do this injustice to anything except the Quran. But the Quran, yes, no problem. We will read it without any understanding. We even memorize it without any understanding. And we call this reading of the Quran. How is it reading of the Quran? So it is very important for us to learn the language and read the Quran with understanding. Until we get there, at least read the meaning of whatever you have, read. Just making sounds by character recognition can't be called reading. Seriously, that's what you're doing. One vertical line means A. The vertical line, if you make a vertical line horizontal and put a dot below it, it becomes Ba. Yeah? Wow, is this reading? What is this? So the point is that we have to really seriously question ourselves and say, what is it that we are doing as far as the Kalam of Allah is concerned? And as I said, until then at least, read the meanings. Ramadan is a very good time to do that. We listen to a certain amount of Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night in Taraweeh. So it's a good idea to previously read it, that piece, whether it is one juz or whatever, and read the meanings before you come for the salah, so that it makes sense and you also, you have some interest in what's going on. Third issue is with the Kalam, as I mentioned earlier, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a living thing. I don't say living document, because the document is written down, the Kalam is spoken, but it's a living speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. So therefore, this Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be responded to. Now, if you read in the seerah of how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to lead salah, they say very clearly that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do was that when he read or recited an ayah mentioning the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he would stop and he would make dua and shukr, and then he would continue. And if he came to an ayat which described the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would stop and he would make dua for protection against that. And then he would continue. Now, obviously, if you have just memorized the Quran and you don't understand what you're reciting, you can't expect any of that. But I have prayed behind imams in the Middle East. There is one imam in Jeddah called Tawfiq al-Sahiq, Hafizullah, who does this. So if you pray Taraweeh behind him, this happens in this entire recitation. And this is quite common with a lot of the Arab imams, because they are understanding what they are saying, so, and they know the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so they do this. Now, I'm not saying that somebody who is not doing it, his salah is not valid or anything. You don't have to do it. But the point is that here you are, there is an example of responding to the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something, therefore, what's your response? Similarly, the question of responding where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked specific questions. I mentioned some of those examples earlier, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us questions. So what is the answer to that question? Repeating a question is not an answer to a question. How can repeating a question be an answer to the question? So the question has to be answered. I mentioned this story of the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman many times before, but for those who have not heard it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once recited the entire surah before the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain. So they all sat and listened to the surah, recitation by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So the Sahibul Kitab, the one on whom the Kalam was sent, is reciting what was sent on him. Now imagine the whole scene and imagine what kind of recitation that must be. And when he finished, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, are you not going to say anything? So they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is there to say? We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this honor and opportunity of listening to you, reciting his Kalam, but what do you want us to say? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I recited the surah before the jinn, every time I said, فَبِي أَيِّ آلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, they responded, they replied, and they said, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ, لَا بِشَيْءٍ مِّن نِعْمَةِ رَبِّنَا نُكَذِّبُ. They said, oh Allah, we do not deny any of your ni'mat. Yeah? They said, oh, we do not deny any of the ni'mat, any of the blessings of our Rabb. Now, I'm not saying that when the Imam is reciting Surah Ar-Rahman from the Muqtadeen at the back, you have to say, La bishayi min ni'mati rabbina nukadhibu, every time he says, Fabiyayi ala rabbikuma tukadhiban. But I'm saying this is an example, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, they are better than you. Who is he saying this to? To the Sahaba. And why are they better than them in this particular case? Because of their responding to the Quran, the Kalam of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So very, very important for us to not just listen to the stories, but to think about this and to reflect on this and say, what can I do? So the Quran has, as I mentioned yesterday, in the structure of the Quran, you have ayat of the glory and magnificence of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So we need to stop and respond and think and reflect on this and say, Subhanallah. And then there are ayat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioning His rules and regulations for us. For example, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, Inna hadihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And in another place, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said exactly the same thing, except the last word is different. Where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, Inna hadihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattakun. So in the first ayat, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said that verily this ummah of yours, this Muslim collective is one ummah, and I am your Rabb, I am Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, I am your creator and your sustainer. So worship me, fa'budun, worship me. And in the second case, fattaqun, meaning live your entire life in obedience to my instructions, because you should be concerned that I am pleased with you or not. Now, take this ayah. We recite this ayah all the time. And then right now we have a crisis in the Middle East. Why? Where is the Ummatan Wahida there? Here is a bunch of, Muslim states quarreling with each other, and because of their political quarrel, literally thousands or I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of ordinary normal citizens who have nothing to do with this quarrel one way or the other, they are being put to huge amount of hardship in the middle of Ramadan. Now you say all the people should be kicked out of the country. I mean, what's the meaning of that? So these poor people, they're living there. They've got students, their children are enrolled in schools there, and all their life is there, and you chuck them out and get out of this country in 2 weeks. What did I do? You didn't do anything, but your government. La hawla quwwata illa billah. And these are all Muslim states. These are Muslim states, and may Allah protect us. They're all Muslim Sunni states. All on the same ideology. I mean, so where is this? What to do with this ayat of the Quran? This is the point. This is the point I'm saying. The Quran did not come for you and me simply to recite in Salah, in Taraweeh, and so on, and then say, okay, every letter has 10 hasanat, so therefore in this ayah I got so many hasanat. No. It came for us to respond to it and respond to it, meaning that I have to question myself and say, what is it I am doing? What is it I am doing? Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, you are one ummah. So is my behavior as if I am one ummah, or is my behavior a behavior of dividing and so on and so forth? Which one? So this is the meaning of responding to the Quran. And there are many, many instances. I don't want to take your time in this further reminder. I think the idea of these reminders is to put markers for us to go and look for ourselves. And the many instances in the Quran, as I said, it's a living kalam. Allah is speaking to you. Allah is speaking to me. So we have to respond to that speech. Allah didn't speak to us for us to simply repeat whatever He said. He spoke to us because He gave us instructions. So we have to follow the instructions. Or He asked us a question, we answer the question. He told us, do this, don't do that. So we do what He told us to do. We stop doing what He told us not to do. I ask myself and you, and remind myself and you, that let us wake up before we are woken up. Because the day will come when we will stand before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And we don't want these questions to be asked on that day. And Allah mentioned this also. This is the beauty of the kalam of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Everything you can think of is already in there. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain about his ummah and he will say that, oh Allah, these people threw the Quran behind their back. What is the meaning of throwing the Quran behind? Obviously, it doesn't mean no Muslim will take the Quran and physically throw the Mus'haf behind his back. It means turning your back on the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that you are refusing to do what he told you to do. You are refusing to live on that, on the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is making this complaint? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. About whom? About his own ummah. See Surah Al-Furqan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly in Surah Al-Furqan. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from being among those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain against. Because there is no escape from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to appreciate His kalam and to live by His kalam and to practice His kalam, because that is best for us. There is nothing we do or don't do that reflects on Allah or which benefits Allah or harms Allah. Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all this. The benefit is for us, and may Allah protect us. The harm is for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the benefit and to protect us from the harm. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.